This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys, and of course all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. Now folks, before we get started, if you want to check us out online, please go over to sonsoflibertymedia.com. You can watch us on YouTube. You can be a live chat friend. Love the interaction. I can also jump over to Before It's News. Thank you to my friend Michael Roach over there for his trust. And you can watch us, friends. We are growing little by little. We're working on a connection here and with Wi-Fi because of our internet service is low at times. On the road, it's great, but when we get home, all of a sudden we have stagnation, and we want to get rid of that. So with that said, if you want to check us out, you can watch us on YouTube, sonsoflibertymedia.com and or Before It's News. You can also jump over to sonsoflibertyradio.com and or sonsoflibertymedia.com. Have several. As a matter of fact, we just picked up two new contributors over at sonsoflibertymedia.com, giving you information that the CIA-controlled media means to omit from you, as well as Facebook, Bradley Dean, double E, Facebook, Bradley Dean. We're taking a step with Facebook, by the way, friends. We have attained and retained an attorney now, talking about a class action lawsuit. We've been talking about this for some time. It's beginning to come together right now. We've already sent off our first letter warning them to back off and quit violating our free speech. We're not asking them. We're commanding them to do so in a clear violation of omission and suppression and censorship of free speech. We're also going to be dealing with Facebook alone, but YouTube, Google, and Twitter as the days roll out in front of us. We'll let you know as things transpire. But if you want to check us out online, you can. Facebook, Bradley Dean, double E, have about 725,000 followers. Can also go over to my personal account, which is Bradley Dean. Twitter is Bradley Dean 1, double E, Bradley Dean 1. If you want to call in at any time, please do. 1-866-582-9933. Rewind just for a moment. YouTube, Sons of Liberty Media, Bradley Dean. Put out a new video every day, friends. We have some of them that are going viral right now. Again, we're here to bring about answers. The Bible says that the Christians are called to be the light of the world. We're called to bring the answers to the world. We're to be the repairers of the breach. Isaiah 61, Isaiah 58, and we are also called to be fishers of men. And surely, friends, sheep begat sheep, because Jesus said in Mark 4:17, that if we follow him, that he's going to make us become fishers of men. And that's exactly what we've been doing here for 20-some years now. Again, also wanted to let you know one more time, if you want to call in, please do. 1-866-582-9933. If this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it's a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. Now, friends, we're going to get over to the good, bad, and the righteous in just a couple minutes here. Yesterday, we talked about George Washington. We talked a little bit about Eric Little or Eric Liddell, however you want to pronounce his name. We talked a little bit about Martin Luther King Jr. and what people say. We exposed Benedict Arnold for the traitor that he was and is and his legacy is. Also talked a little bit about Benjamin Franklin. And it's interesting, friends, how the righteous today are being labeled as the unrighteous, and how the CIA-controlled media has the American people believing, namely in this country, that the unrighteous are the good guys. And we see this through politics all day long. They promote that which is dark as if it's light, and they promote that which is bitter as if it's sweet. And folks, again, this is Isaiah 5:20, and it spells it out for us. They're reversing the very definitions in so many different ways through their exhibition. They want to rewrite the way that you think, friends, and it's a war against God, and it's a war that they're going to lose, and it's a war that they've lost over and over again. And again, I'm here to remind you that the church, we are called to be the seed of the righteous, which we are, but we are forever. Okay, the Bible says that the seed of the righteous is forever. We are going nowhere, friends. We are going nowhere. Again, Charles Spurgeon uses the metaphor, the analogy of the world is the hammer that keeps pounding away at the church. Interestingly enough, it seems to fall back on them. And the Bible clearly tells us it's better for us to fall upon the rock than the rock to fall upon us. They use their own hammer, friends, to destroy themselves, because that's what history teaches us, that all politics aimed at God end in self-destruction. That's exactly right. And that was George Whitefield. And if you go over to the likes of Bonaparte, who said, you know what, the Bible is no mere book. It's a power that conquers all that oppose it. It's exactly right. So therefore, the world's the hammer. The church is the anvil. You don't change the anvil, friends. You always change the hammer. And that's exactly, again, what history teaches us. Just reading 1 John before we get over back over to the good, bad, and the righteous. I was just reading this, and I just, you know, kind of stuck out to me a little bit. I want you to think about this. The works of the law, okay, are do this. It's do this and live, right? Grace says live and do this. The law condemns, okay? The gospel justifies to those that believe. And I know that people understand grace as being unmerited, which in fact that is the definition. But there's also other definitions of grace in Webster's 1828. Keep in mind, Noah Webster taught millions to read and not one to violate God's moral law. And I want to ask the American people, 1-866-582-9933, I want to know, when I kick off these scriptures really quick, as to what motivates them to obey, okay? Is it I have to or else, because people need to understand that grace has no slaves. Let me say that again. Grace has no slaves. Defined, grace is a power, folks, that causes us to overcome through perseverance, which is a continuance in a state of grace until preceded by a state of glory. Okay, so it is the power to restrain men from sin. Is that true? Well, when you look in Scripture, friends, in 1 John 2, it says, "And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Us keeping his commandments, is that out of work? No, it's out of love. I do what I do because I'm saved. I don't do what I do to get saved. Okay, and again, keep in mind the function of the law, said Augustine. The law detects, grace conquers. The Bible tells us in Romans 5 that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. What we're seeing in America today, what we're seeing on a global basis in the professed church, is a lack of life in Christ, because the Bible tells us to he who hath the Son hath life. And what the church is missing in so many facets, friends, is the life of Christ. Why? Because men are not in grace, and men are not in Christ, where God said that he would bear witness to those that are in Christ, because to he who hath the Son hath life. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to come right back to this. Again, let me leave this thought with you for just a couple moments before we return. Grace has no slaves. A slave has no interest in his master's property. Okay, we'll be right back.
It was William Booth who founded the Salvation Army that said, "I consider that the chief dangers which confront the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without generation, politics without God, and heaven without hell." It was also the same William Booth who said, "If you want to change the future, then you're going to have to trouble the present." Well, we here at the Sons of Liberty have always been a troubler of the present to preserve our future for generations to come. And you can can be a part of it too. Go to sonsoflibertyradio.com and click on the Spread the Word button where you can join us in taking part in winning this nation for Christ by becoming a son or daughter of liberty. You can also make a one-time donation as well by clicking the Donate Securely button on our landing page. We cannot do this apart from you. We are all together in this fight to win America back unto Christ and restore us back to the foundations that made us great. Go to sonsoflibertyradio.com today.
This is Rob Pugh from Wisconsin Christian News. I'm proud to partner with the Sons of Liberty. We're a national Christian newspaper available now in all 50 states. We have some of the very best writers in the entire country, including Bradley Dean. Check out our website and subscribe. Online, print, or better yet, get both at a discount for ease of sharing and accessible anywhere. And please consider donating to help our ministry continue and grow across the nation and around the world. Check us out, WisconsinChristianNews.com.
As you listen to the show today, you're probably thinking, how can I be a part of changing culture and restoring this country for our posterity? Well, we at the Sons of Liberty have an answer for you. Pick up the phone and call radio stations in your hometown. Tell them you want to hear the Sons of Liberty on your AM and FM stations. Help us multiply the message that we deliver to the nation every day. And equip your community with the truth that is protecting our liberty for generations to come. Remember, we can do this together.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, 1-866-582-9933. Check out the several articles, friends, 13 of them daily on sonsoflibertymedia.com. Again, information that the CIA-controlled media means to omit. We are exposing the devil for who he is, period. We are not asking permission from the devil to obey God. We've been given all authority and power over him, and that's exactly what we are doing. Was just talking about during the first segment, just food for thought. That's it. I left you with, friends, grace has no slaves. Okay? Those that are born of the Spirit of God need to understand what grace does. It restrains men from sin. Webster's 1828. Okay? And it's interesting how many people will call themselves Christians, yet they're in sin. In Scripture, contradicts that every step of the way. Okay? And it's also interesting to note that a slave has no interest in his master's property. A slave only does what he has to do because he has to do it. He doesn't care about the kingdom of heaven. Okay? That's someone that works out what they call their salvation by the works of the law. Make distinction here, friends, between ceremonial and moral law, because Jesus Christ never came in to abrogate the moral law. Just for the record, okay? I want you to listen to this. Isaiah 42:21 says, "The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable." Who are they talking about? If you go to Psalm 40 verse 8, what does it tell us? "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart." Who's that, friends? This is all Jesus. When you go to the New Testament in Hebrews 8:10, what does it tell us? "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me my people." Who is this? He's talking about those that are born of the Spirit of God. Did Jesus come to abrogate the law? Did he make amendment to the law? Or did he bring about an exposition concerning the law? Well, he brought about an exposition. He explained the law. If it was abrogated, there was no reason for him to explain it. Okay? Period. When you go to Matthew chapter 5, friends, what does it tell us? It tells us that, think not that I come to destroy the law. He didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law, friends. He said, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till it all be fulfilled. He said, whosoever therefore shall break one of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least, friends. He shall be called the least. If you go to Romans 15, verse 8, the Bible talks about how Jesus was a incarnate in the flesh. Okay? Not as if he's in past tense. I'm talking about his days on the earth incarnate as a man in the flesh. Now we know that he has risen and he sits at the right hand of our Heavenly Father. We know this by faith. Okay? But when you go to Romans 3:31, what does it tell us? New Testament again, friends. King James Version, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yeah, we establish the law. Are we saved by the law? Nope. We're saved by the fruit of keeping our eyes fixed on the author and the finisher of our faith, by faith that he gave us. Okay? Well, let me show you Christ in action just to further prove the point. How many times did Jesus say to the Jews that were given the law, the Torah, the Decalogue, friends, the moral law of God, how many times did he ask them, well, what does the law say to you? What does the law say to you? I mean, this has got to confound the American church today who completely, through a bunch of antinomianists, show no regard for God's moral law, and then they wonder why there's a bunch of anarchists running all over the country today acting like a bunch of devils, but these same hirelings, these antinomianists with no regard for God's given law, are the very ones preaching the false grace. That you as the grace of God as an occasion for the flesh. This is not my point, but I want to get to this. Okay? You remember in Mark 10, right? And I could give you several references in Scripture, friends, throughout. But do you remember when the rich young ruler came up to Jesus? And do you remember in Mark 10, verse 19, what Jesus said in response? He said, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, the seventh, do not kill, the sixth, do not steal, the eighth, do not bear false witness, the ninth, defraud not, right? Honor thy father and thy mother, the fifth. Why is he making reference to God's moral law? Well, read Romans 13. The fulfilling of the law is to do unto thy neighbors as you would have them do unto thyself, right? So I'm just simply asking the question, friends. When you read scriptures like, and hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And again, grace has no slaves. When you go to going over to John 15, verse 10, what does it say? I want you to listen to this again. What does it say? It tells us, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. What does Matthew 22, verse 37 tell us, friends? That we're to love the Lord our God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is the first commandment. The second is namely like unto this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, what is love? Where did love come from? It came from the Holy Ghost, Romans 5, 5. Okay? And it also tells us in Scripture, friends, that we know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not. How does this line up to the professed church that makes so many excuses for their transgression, their breaking of God's moral law? Well, how are they supposed to love if they don't have the law written in their hearts? As I just highlighted, in Isaiah 42:21, Psalm 40, verse 8, Hebrews 8:10, and 10:8, Romans 3:31, and again, a list of these others, friends. I'm here to tell you what grace does, what real grace does. It causes you to overcome your sin, not to succumb to your sin. And those that are born of the Spirit, they are not slaves to sin. The Bible tells us that those that continue on their sin will die in their sin, said Jesus. There's no cover for your excuses, friends. It's called repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There is no other mandate given unto us by heaven. There's no way around it. Jesus said if you come in through any other way, he said you come as a thief or a robber, you must come to him. Because the Bible tells us in John 10 that he is the door. He also said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Isn't it interesting how many, so many people look for excuses as to why they continue on in their sin? But Scripture teaches us just the exact opposite. It teaches us just the exact opposite. And so many scriptures, friends. Like I said, I'm reading 1 John right now. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Is that hard to do? Is that works? Nope, it's grace. Because that's what real grace does. Again, I'm not a slave to my Father. I'm obedient to my Father out of gratitude for what Jesus did for me on the cross. Period. And in response to the Holy Ghost and what He has poured in my heart through the love of God that's been shed there, Romans 5:5, I do the works because I'm saved to His glory, period. I want you to listen to this really quick because people take this out of context constantly, right? Going over to Ephesians 2, I want you to listen carefully, okay? It tells us in 2:8, what, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. That's right. Not of works because I have to, but because I want to. Okay? Again, remember, slaves, I want you to remember this, friends. Grace has no slaves. None. Okay? What did he say in verse 9? Not of works, lest any man should boast. And then he says in verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto what? Unto good works. You notice how everybody always talks about in the professors, well, we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. That's true. But what about the faith that shows the world that you are his through the works that he's commanded you to do? People are confused by that. I totally get it. Listen, I don't want my children to be around their dad because they have to. I want my children to be around their dad and to obey their dad because they love their dad. That's what I aspire to. I hope I'm that kind of a dad where my kids want to be with me. And when I give them a command, it's okay, Dad. My little boy, Sam, we call him Buggy here. Folks, I cannot tell you how many times I used to be outside working, cleaning up the yard, cutting the grass, mowing, whatever the case. That little boy used to sit out on top of the hill, and he would look at me until I came over to him. And he'd be about, you know, 4 or 5 feet or 4 feet tall. And I'd go, what's going on? And he goes, Dad, what can I help you with? Dad, what can I help you with? And I would say to him, honey, you can't drive the mower yet. You're not big enough. He goes, well, maybe we can put weight on there and then I can help. My son loved his dad in such a fashion that he was looking for excuses and help as to how he could help me even when he was too small to do it. You know what? So is those, and so are those that are born of the Spirit of God. They're not looking for a reason not to do the works. They're looking to an excuse to do the work so he might be glorified.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. House Speaker Democrat Nancy Pelosi is offended by suggestions that she hates President Trump.
And as a Catholic, I resent your using the word hate in a sentence that addresses me.
Pelosi speaking at a Capitol Hill briefing on Thursday, she continues,
I don't hate anyone. I was raised in a way that is full, a heart full of love, and always prayed for the president. And I still pray for the president. I pray for the president all the time.
Meanwhile, at the White House, President Trump says he's not worried at all about impeachment.
It's a hoax. It's a hoax. It's a big fat hoax.
The president there addressing the media before a United Nations Security Council luncheon. United Airlines CEO Oscar Munoz is stepping down. He's turning over the day-to-day management and operations of the company to President Scott Kirby. Kirby will take over in May. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, friends. I was just highlighting what Scripture again tells us to liberate some people from ignorance. The truth shall make you free, John 8:32, and it is the Lord's Word that does just that, with the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. Read 1 John 2 when you get a moment. But again, friends, I was just sharing with you how when you go over to Ephesians 2, it talks about, you know, we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. That's right. That's true. But doesn't it say more after that? Because the modern day church stops right there. They pick scriptures as to the ones they don't like. They omit those. They show absolute disregard for them. They keep the word out of context. And then the ones that they do like, they pull in and they just use that one scripture out of context to feed their flesh and to assure them of hell, because they don't keep it in context, friends. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. And then what does he say? Not of works. The works of what? I don't do what I do to get saved. Again, make distinction between moral law and ceremonial law. Okay? Lest any man should boast. The Bible says in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's the part the modern day church doesn't want to hear. And I don't care if they want to hear it or not, you're going to hear it from the show. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Well, I don't have to do the works to get saved. I didn't say that. You do the works because you are saved. That is what I'm saying. And if you are truly saved and understood what grace does and the operation and power of real grace, it causes you to overcome in restraining men from sin and doing the works that might glorify your Father, which is in heaven, right? He's not glorified by your inaction. And first of all, if you were born of the Spirit of God, you'd be led into the Spirit concerning the will of God. When you do the Lord's will, your furrow will fall into place. And then His will becomes your will. Okay? That's how you're united in Christ through the cross of Jesus Christ. Period. I told you during the last segment, before I get over to the good, bad, and the righteous, which I need to get over to, about how my son, he wasn't big enough to go out there and help. And I was equating that to the fact that, friends, when we love God because out of gratitude we serve Him and what He's done for us on Calvary through His Son Jesus Christ as the propitiation for the sins of the world, not just Bradley, but for the sins of the world, right? We want Him to be glorified by bearing the cross that Christ mandated. First prerequisite, right? And my son used to come outside, and he wanted to help cut the grass. And there's a lever on the mower that you have to weigh a certain amount before the blades will go off. It's a safety device. It's a safety measure. And my son was looking for an excuse, because what I would do is I'd look at him standing on the driveway, and I'd go over to him and I'd say, what's going on, buggy? And he'd say, well, Dad, I want to help. This is a real Christian friend. I want to help, Lord. What is it that you want me to do? You said pray not that that there's yet 4 months before the harvest. You said to pray forth that you would send forth laborers into the field. You said, Lord, who will go? Lord, we're standing here raising our hands saying, Lord, send us. That's Christianity. That's real Christianity. Those are the ones that are born of the Spirit, looking to do the will of our Father, which is birthed in the Spirit, okay, and by the Spirit, for His glory. Not those that are sitting around making excuses as to why they don't do it, but yet they're saved. Yet they're saved to do absolutely nothing, and that's exactly what they do, which shows you that they're good for nothing, only to be trodden underfoot, friends, and to be thrown in the fire where exactly they belong. They sit there and they profess to be something, and yet they don't produce the fruit, and they want the world to pretend with them that what they claim is true. Well, I'm not going to pretend with you. And neither does Scripture in any sense of the word. The Bible says to contend with such in the book of Jude, and that's exactly what we're doing. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How is your Father glorified? By your good works. And who does that apply to? Those that are saved by grace through faith in that not of ourselves. Grace has no slaves. And if you are not a slave and you are truly born of grace, guess what? You have a care for your master's will. You have a care for your Father's will in so many different ways. I just thought I'd bring that up, because going through 1 John for the 50,000th time, friends, I still things still pop out that I needed to see again and again and again and again. I spent probably more time in Deuteronomy and in 1 John and John, now Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I never had a taste for those books the way that I have a taste for those books now. And it's where I'm at in growth, growing up in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. Also read, by the way, bearing fruits and your Father being glorified, read John 15 as well. And talk about those that don't bear fruits. What does the Lord say of them? They don't belong to me. It's just that simple. And how is He glorified? Those that bear much fruit. Okay? That's why we're always looking for more to do. We're looking for more to do. We wish we could do more than what we're doing right now. That's what real Christians are doing. A case in point, I remember a man of God. He was a prophet. And he was shot dead. And I remember all the things that he did, he would still go home and complain to his friends and his wife that he wasn't doing enough. Oh, you know, it's funny, because when you hear others say that kind of stuff, it's an encouragement that you're doing all that you can do and you still want to do more. Paul talked about that. Any man of God that has got a real call of God in his life is always looking to do more. You know, we want the Lord to answer us exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to His will, right? According to the power that works within us, right? We always ask the Lord to expand His will. Friends, we have a map at home, and we have it posted in the studio, and it shows us where we've been in the United States. And people come in and say, "You've done all this?" And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, wait a second, we do that every day in 117 cities and in 53 countries, 6 days a week. But these other pins, this is where we did high schools. This is where we literally went in and rocked the house concerning other facets of the ministry. This is where we did colleges. This is where we did live radio on other people's broadcasts. This is where we did television. Folks, you always feel undone. Real Christianity always feels undone. Okay? Great is the peace of those who keep their minds stayed on thee. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a warfare on that until you receive. There's a constant warfare around those that are born of the Spirit of God. Oh, my goodness, here. I'm thinking of John Calvin and the things that he said concerning those that are called of God. You ready for this? And you want to line it up to Scripture, friends? This is it right here. This is it. John Calvin said, "Love him or hate him, he was right. Whosoever the Lord has adopted and deemed worthy of his fellowship ought to prepare themselves for a hard, toilsome, and unquiet life crammed with very many and various kinds of evil." Wow. Wow. Is he right on? I just talked to someone this morning, my affiliates guy out in Florida. And he said, "Hey, Bradley, how you doing?" I said, "Well, I just got back in the saddle." And I said, "It's interesting." I said, "If I could sleep for one day, I mean, I'm talking about one good sleep overnight. I'm sorry. I said, I could go for another strong 5 years, and then I need another day of good sleep after that 5-year mark. I said, I can tell you the last time I slept a good night of sleep, and it was 13 years ago, and I was on the road doing high school assemblies in Tennessee, and I woke up completely refreshed." I said, "I haven't felt that in 13 years. And this isn't about Bradley Dean. It's just about the warfare. Let me give you another something. Outside of the fact that this family hears from people, regardless of what facet we're running or where we're at or what we're doing, we always hear, "Oh boy, this has never happened before. This has never happened before." I don't care if it's their computer, someone running out of gas, something going wrong in the path. And most people think that's the devil. Well, you know, Satan hindered Paul. Yeah, we know that in the book of Thessalonians. But the fact of the matter is, friends, yeah, he may hinder us, but we still win. We still have all power and authority over him. Remember Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," right? "It is finished" means he is a defeated foe. And the Lord turns around and gives the church all power and authority over the enemy. Okay, that's great. But it's a constant sign and signal that he's always warring against us, and he's only warring against those that are keeping the commandments of God. He leaves those that aren't keeping the commandments of God. Read Revelations 12 when you get a moment. Those that aren't keeping the will of God, those that are not keeping his commandments and doing the will of God, he lets you go. And I want to tell you this. If you let go outside of the will of God and you're not being chastised, you don't belong to the Lord. The surest sign that we're in the will of God is the warfare that follows the ministry. And it's there 24/7. But friends, how many times we hear, and me and my wife and kids, when someone says, "Well, I've never had this happen before," we look at each other. And we just kind of chuckle. It's like, "Oh my goodness, Lord, it gets old. It gets to the point where you don't even complain about it. You just say, okay, what's next?" And you get stronger. And stronger, and stronger, and stronger. You know, it's interesting when you read the Bible, friends, that the Bible says in the book of Mark, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to come back to this other point here. It was actually in Matthew, forgive me. Isn't it interesting how, and I'm just shooting from the hip right now, isn't it interesting how people talk about, you know, well, when the devil tempts you, you know, or you're tempted, or you're going through hard times, it's the devil. Well, wait a second. Also keep in mind, the Lord said through many trials and tribulations do we enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I want to take that to Matthew 4 when we come right back, because the Holy Ghost is doing what he does best right now, and we are running prophetic channels. We'll be right back.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
Hello everyone, this is documentary filmmaker Tom Dunn from ThroughTheBlack.com. If you are looking for a clear and logical take on what's going on in government and are tired of shows that are run by hidden agendas and lack of common sense, then check out Sons of Liberty Radio with Bradley Dean.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go. Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. Friends, it's absolutely amazing to me how people will mock the things of God. You know, we have one guy on live chat right now just talking about how God needs to basically back up his DNA and prove it. And it's like, you know what? You're about to find that out. It's called Judgment Day, and it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. All roads lead to the judgment seat of Christ, period. That includes you. And I want to remind you, friend, that God is not one who is mocked. You know what's interesting is there's a story told, and it's a true story, told of three kids that were in a church. They were teenagers. And they were in there listening to the preacher, and one was chuckling at everything he had to say. And during that time, he just got to the point where the other two were taking it serious, and he wanted to be the clown. So he began to mock the preacher, and it got to the point where he just got up and walked out of the church. His two friends stayed. In the process, friends, he took off, and moments later, it came back to the church that someone just got hit by a train and killed that just left the church. Now, is that a fearful tactic? No. It's a truthful fact. And facts are stubborn things. And if you want to go ahead and mock the things of God, you are setting yourself up for a quick fall. And I'll tell you what, those that mock Christ the most, they're either on the verge of getting saved, friends, or they're on the verge of being judged. You mark my words on it. You watch people in Hollywood that mock Christ the most, either they're going to get saved or else they're going to end up dead sooner or later. Is it a game? Absolutely not. Hey, ask Satanists, man. They'll tell you. The reason I refer to them is because they have more of an understanding in some cases than those in the professed church do, to their everlasting shame. I don't care if you're a heathen or not. I'm telling you, don't go on my live chat and start mocking the things of God, brother, because that ain't going to fly there, just for the record. I was just highlighting during the end of the last segment how we're told, namely by the women, because women in the church love to exalt the devil. They love to talk about the devil. I got a question for you. What Bible are you reading? I mean, this is like after World War II. Our boys, we lose 405,399 men fighting against a tyrant. They sacrifice themselves in giving you the freedoms that you have, and you go out and brag about how bad Adolf Hitler is rather than honoring those that sacrifice themselves in giving you the freedom that you have. Shame on you. You're like one that goes around and sit there and exalts and magnifies a coach that continuously loses game after game after game after game. The black taskmaster. And you live accordingly. And I'm going to tell you what, when you have a mindset like that, rest assured you are a succumber. You are not an overcomer. You are not feeding on the Word of God, and you have not the right spirit. And the Bible does say in 1 John 4 to test the spirits. And that's exactly what we're doing right now. But isn't it interesting how they love to talk about the devil? They talk more about the devil than they do Jesus. Jesus comes up every once in a while. The selling point is the devil. And really, when they talk about the devil like that, it shows you how deceived they are by the devil. And they think they have a victory over him when, in fact, they're overcome by him. Man, but these are the ones that are talking all the time that if you're tempted, it's of the devil. True. True. But does the Lord push us into the war, up the mountain by faith? Or does he turn and tell us to take the easy road and that he would just push us over those obstacles that are in front of us? Well, that's what grace does. But we have to keep walking by faith the same direction to overcome those obstacles, right? Ask the patriarchs. Read Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. Listen, in Matthew 4, the Bible says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. To make him weaker? No, to make him stronger. It's like a man that lifts weight. He puts more weight on it, right? And he pumps more and more and more and more to bring and to build up that resilience. So it is with the trials and the tests and the temptations in life that we face. They're there to build us up in the faith, not to overcome. Not that we should succumb to them. No. We're led of the Spirit into these particular situations to win the day that God might be glorified. Stage by stage, we walk by faith and not by sight, right? Man, it's honestly, it amazes me how biblically illiterate people are today. And what amazes me more than that is how the sheeple will listen to the hirelings in the pulpit that continuously take out of context Scripture. And I want to tell you why. Because they have not the Spirit. They have not the Spirit of God. And they take it and they pervert it and they twist it. The Bible says wrest it. That means to pervert Scripture unto what? Their own damnation. And they mean to bring as many as possible with them as they can. Boy, oh boy, friends. Let's go back to this church militant thing. John G. Lake said, Christianity did not go into the world apologizing. It went to slay the powers of darkness and undo the works of the devil and live in holy triumph. Whoa! Man, now you listen to the professors of the day, man. They're magnifying all the problems. And all the problems that they're magnifying fall to their lot because they fail to keep the commandments of the living God in dealing with all the problems that are falling back upon them. That's a fact. Read Psalm 78. Okay? I want to end with this, and I'm sorry, but we can get to it tomorrow. And I know it's a quick hour, friends. Believe me, I get it. I live it. I can go on for 3 hours every day. People say, well, Bradley, why don't you do 3 hours a day? Well, I don't want it to take away from being out there with the people. That's why. Listen to what George Whitefield said, and then I'm going to get to this and end. George Whitefield, the great awakening preacher, said, the riches of his free grace, remember, grace has no slaves, Cause me daily to triumph over all the temptations of the wicked one. Amen. Hallelujah. Who is very vigilant and seeks all occasions to disturb me. Just last night, friends, trying to get a little rest, one of our cats just starts acting out. Comes into my room of all places. And she starts to just cry for no reason. 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, I throw a pillow and she runs and she goes out through the other room. Rather quickly. And then all of a sudden I lay back down and guess what? All of a sudden an alarm that I just changed a battery on starts to tweet. And I said, I said it to myself. I just rolled out of bed and I said, you've got to be kidding me. It's every day of my life. But you know what goes on in the back of my mind, in my heart, and I can hear this. We shall overcome. And we shall, friends. You know what? Because when I'm complaining about what I go through on a daily basis to myself, to those that are around me, they go through it too. It's really encouraging having other people around you that go through the same thing every day. You remember King David said, I'm a companion of all them that fear you, Lord, and of them that keep thy precepts. They understand that those are the best people to be around. Because they understand what you're talking about. It's not fictitious. It's not surreal. Nope, it's very real in this world. You want to step into a spiritual world, friends? Serve the Lord and you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. I want you to listen to this. This is E.M. Bounds. Whoa. You want to talk about a general of God in prayer? This is the guy. He said, Christianity is a battle waged against invisible foes who are always alert and ever seeking to entrap, deceive, and ruin the souls of men. The Christian life is no picnic or excursion. It is not entertainment or a pleasure trip. It involves effort, wrestling, and struggling. It demands putting forth the full energy of your spirit in order to frustrate the foe and be in the end more than a conqueror. It's not a flower-strewn path, no rose-scented affair. From start to finish, it is spiritual warfare. It is a battle, not a game. From the moment that they first draw their spiritual swords, Christian warriors are compelled to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:3. What a misconception many people have of the Christian life. It's a lack thereof. How little the average church member appears to know of the character of the conflict and its demands upon them. How ignorant they seem to be of the enemies that they must encounter if they are to serve God faithfully, succeed in getting to heaven and receive the crown of life. They scarcely seem to realize that the world, the flesh, and the devil who will oppose their onward march and will totally defeat them unless they give themselves to constant vigilance and unceasing prayer. And it is just at that point I mean to highlight the professed church's greatest defects. There is little to nothing of the soldier element in it. The discipline, self-denial, spirit of hardship, and determination that belong to the military life are also so prominent in it that they're lacking in Christianity today. It's a lack of Christ. Yet, my friends, the Christian life is warfare from the beginning to the end. Remember, friends, God is willing to give the church what it is willing to fight for. That is real grace. That is real faith. But you do not get the victory without the fight. I would ask that you'd also consider supporting this ministry, friends, last month of the year. Go to sonsoflibertymedia.com. Become a son or a daughter of liberty. We totally appreciate your trust. We will get back to good, bad, and righteous tomorrow. The Holy Ghost wants to break out. He's going to do what he wants, and we will yield to him. We'll talk to you in 23. See you.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.